Excuse me if I remove this. Tends to get in the way. President Brian, faculty and staff of Kalamazoo College, trustees, fellow graduates, family and friends. It is a real honor for me to be with you here on this special occasion. Congratulations for a major milestone which you are about to achieve. 30 years ago, I sat out there where you are and received the same degree you are earning today. Little did I know then that that would be the beginning of an incredibly exciting adventure which would continue for years to come. I'm convinced that my personal and professional experiences in the last 3 decades would have been far less fulfilling and far less energizing if I had not spent my formative years at Kalamazoo College. I won't bore you with my personal circumstances, but suffice it to say that I came here in 1960 as a poorly prepared, shy 17-year-old who'd been brought up by a loving and supportive single working mother, and about all I had going for me, at least I thought was going for me, was drive. Or actually, should I say, determination to prove to myself and my family and my friends and whoever else that I wasn't going to fail despite expectations to the contrary. Kalamazoo College offered a blend of a nurturing and rigorous environment, which was critical to me in building a solid foundation during the first 2 years I was here. I have to say that those were not easy years, though. It was a struggle. I spent a good 90% of my time way beyond my comfort zone. And I can remember distinctly that my mother and grandparents came up to visit me in the fall of my freshman year to spend a relaxing weekend seeing the campus, going to a football game. And all I could do was obsess upon completing some English composition which was due the following week. What a pain I was to be around those days, and what pain I was in. In retrospect, without the struggle and without the pain, there could have been no personal growth. Subsequently, in 1962, the K plan kicked in, and I was going overseas. Suddenly, a whole array of new experiences and development, personal development possibilities opened up to me. It was like, for someone who had grown up in the Midwest, it was as like I had been in a black and white movie which had suddenly shifted to Technicolor. A land of Oz called Southern France. And that turned out to be the hinge experience of my college years. One has to admire the courage and the vision of the college's administration to have adopted the K plan. It was an incredibly bold step, for example, to have sent students, K students, off to Forbé College in Sierra Leone in West Africa in 1962 on the heels of African independence. One major misstep that first year could have doomed the foreign study program and damaged the college's reputation. And I have to pay tribute to subsequent college administrations who have kept the foreign study program flourishing, and the African studies program in particular flourishing. What the college grasped back into the K plan, including, of course, the sophomore career quarter and the SIP was a simple basic truth, and that is that a college education involves far more than a complete education involves far more than basic classroom knowledge. It involves communicating effectively with others, teamwork, in understanding different cultures, managing tasks, and innovative ways of thinking. This is the mix of skills which is required to go out into the world and function productively and lead and adapt in today's world. It was a holistic and a practical approach to a liberal arts education without compromising the quality of that basic education. For me, however, the foreign study experience was that hinge experience. It propelled me on into the Peace Corps, to a career in international relations, and ultimately to a career in economic development. I know by virtue of my own experience, personal experience and knowledge of the college, that the education you have received here has provided you with a solid foundation. To paraphrase what Reverend Adams eloquently stated last night at the baccalaureate service, you are now well positioned to go out into the world and to make a difference and to thrive at it. We live in a rapidly changing interdependent world. You have a strong comparative advantage in functioning effectively in this environment, and you have nothing to fear that the challenges of such an environment presents. You are versatile, skilled, and empowered. You may not be directed. That's okay, too. I wasn't. Direction tends to be a function of time, experience, and understanding oneself. It will come. Now permit me a few words regarding two concepts which I consider to be critical for purpose and fulfillment in your postgraduate life. First, accept the notion that there is no finish line and act accordingly, because there isn't. No finish line is an expression hyped in running shoe ads, I know, but I think it's apt in life. Graduation today is a major milestone, but it doesn't finish anything. To the contrary, it shows to you, your family, your friends, and the outside world that you are ready for more learning, more challenges, and more achievements. Having come this far obligates you to continue. You've laid a solid foundation here at Kalamazoo, but you've got to move on to build the walls, the roof, decorate the inside of the house, invite others inside to share your dreams, your goals, and your achievements, and use that as a home base to go out into the world and to make a difference. The fact that there is no finish line also means that you must enjoy doing in life. Savor the here and now if you are to be happy. Try to delight in doing, because you're going to be doing until you die. There is an art in carrying out every task. Derive fulfillment from completing each, learn from each, and move on. That continual process of doing, learning, doing, completing, and learning from the outcome is what life is all about, and it's never ending. The second word of advice I'd like to pass on to you is to contribute to making this a better world. I know this sounds trite, but there are many concrete ways in which contributing to the world can be played out. The words of Ralph Waldo Emerson say it perfectly. To leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived, this is to have succeeded. My most satisfying contributions have tended to involve personal relationships. Being, for example, the big brother for 20 years to a fatherless boy living in the roughest part of Washington, D.C. Taking my 6-year-old son last month on a business trip to Switzerland and marveling at his fascination with the differences in culture and his ability to open up and communicate so naturally with our Swiss hosts. These are the contributions and experiences to treasure. But I want to focus on an area where I think you have a distinct comparative advantage, where I found I did, and that is contributing on the important social issues. It may sound grandiose and perhaps overwhelming, but don't let that psych you out. Just as every one of these important issues touches you and me, we have the power to influence them. We don't hesitate to think big. As Helen Keller put it, one can never consent to creep when one feels the impulse to soar. If the impulse is there, you have, by way of your education here, a superb springboard from which to soar. In today's interdependent world, global means local and local means global. There's wisdom in that bumper sticker, think globally, act locally. By virtue of your Kalamazoo College education, you have developed a perspective, a global perspective, and an appreciation of how interdependent we have become, an understanding which few undergraduates achieve. You know it is imperative and in our self-interest to address in whatever small way we can global issues such as world hunger, environmental degradation, ethnic hatred, and the spread of AIDS. And if we don't, the repercussions, and they will be major for us and our own well-being and way of life, will affect us significantly. Here again, there is no finish line. Historical perspective tells us that there are no absolute solutions. No war to end all wars. No miracle drug for all times. But historical perspective also tells us there are no insolvable problems, just new ones. Odds are we will defeat the AIDS epidemic and avert an ozone depletion catastrophe and resolve other major crises which might loom on the horizon. But doing so will be much more complete and certain and effective with your concern and your involvement because you have a comparative advantage in this area. You have developed the tools, the motivation, the flexibility, the global view, and perhaps most importantly, the leadership potential in contributing toward a resolution of many of these issues. I've urged you to go out and contribute, and there are two extra dimensions to this theme which I would like to highlight. One I'll call the disparity factor. The notion here is that our privileged position obligates us as fellow human beings to assume some responsibility for addressing the disparity between the quality of our life and those of the poorest. The other I'll call the effectiveness factor. By this I mean there are effective, proven ways of alleviating poverty and misery in the most intractable circumstances. In terms of health, education, opportunity, and material well-being, you are arguably the most fortunate generation in history. Furthermore, the disparity between your quality of life, and that of the poorest living in the third world or in our inner cities or in our rural areas has never been greater, and it continues to widen. I could have never believed when I left Kalamazoo in 1964 and joined the Peace Corps in Guinea, West Africa, that per capita income in Guinea and all the surrounding countries in Africa would be lower today than it was back then in the early 60s. During that same period of time, our per capita income here in the United States has more than doubled. In sub-Saharan Africa, we're talking about people who are living on the edge, eking out an existence, and with a per capita income in the rural areas of generally less than the equivalent of $200 per year. For the past decade, I have been privileged to play a part in managing the largest health program in Africa, the River Blindness Program. This multi-donor program covers 11 countries in West Africa and is largely run by Africans themselves. It has virtually eliminated a tragic and devastating disease throughout a large portion of the continent. I mention the program for two reasons. First, it has become my vehicle, major vehicle, for going out in the world and contributing. And secondly, it is an excellent illustration of effectiveness in reducing disparity by alleviating poverty. The program protects 30 million people from contracting river blindness, most of which live in Sahel, West Africa, which is the poorest group of countries in the world. By eliminating blindness alone, or preventing blindness, this program has added an estimated 10 million productive labor years to the economies of West Africa. And furthermore, the countries involved in this program and which have been affected by the disease have now, for the most part, achieved self-sufficiency, food self-sufficiency. These are the same countries which in the early 1970s and 80s were experiencing famine. The reason is that large tracts of land which had been infested with the disease have now been opened up and made river blindness free, and people can resettle those areas and produce food. The River Blindness Program illustrates how dramatic achievements in development are possible through commitment, international collaboration, and a belief that solutions can be made to work. And as a footnote, I might add that such efforts are continuing as I and my office are working with President Carter and the Carter Center to establish a new river blindness program to eliminate the disease in the remaining part of Africa. Development on the continent of Africa will require many more similar programs, such as the River Blindness Program, and a long-term dedicated partnership between the industrialized world and Africa. Africa is an area which is wide open. An area among many, really, which is wide open for those of you with an impulse to go out into the world and to contribute and to make a major difference. Let me conclude by reiterating what I said earlier. By virtue of your education here, you are well positioned to go out into the world and to make a major difference and to thrive at it. One more point on this, and that is you have an advantage that other recent graduates have not had. And that is that in the 4 years you've been here at Kalamazoo, there have been changes of epic proportions that have taken place in the world. And these changes open up the possibilities for focusing on real, fundamental, basic problems. The changes I'm talking about are the end of the Cold War, the abolition of apartheid in South Africa, and genuine steps toward peace in the Middle East. Don't underestimate the impact, the possibilities that these changes open up. Because my generation spent numerous years in unproductive struggles involving these problem areas. You are very fortunate that that gridlock is now behind us. Now, fellow graduates, take every advantage of the very special and unique education that you have received here at Kalamazoo and the times that you live in. And go out into the world and soar. Get involved. Contribute. And keep making a difference over and over and over again. And don't forget, you don't get to stop, because there is no finish line. Thank you.